Church planting is about starting a movement with maybe just a few people or more, or maybe it's starting churches in a whole area where you live. It was in the early 1990s when an Amway distributor approached me and tried to get me into Amway. I was impressed. I was impressed that this ordinary, and let's call him a bivocational businessman, because Amway, being network marketing, gives everybody a chance to be a businessman, that somehow or other this ordinary person was trying to get me into Amway. And I was impressed. So much so that I faxed, back in those days we had fax machines, I faxed Mr. Rich DeVos of the Amway Corporation, and here's why I faxed him. I figured if this guy and his partner Jay Van Andel could figure out how to get ordinary people to sell and run businesses and start businesses, even if so many of them failed in doing so, that he would actually get people to attempt something great like starting a business, I thought I could learn something from him about leadership, church planting, what it takes to get something off the ground. Now, I am going to talk about this mentorship relationship, what I learned from Rich DeVos about church planting in the next couple sessions. Now, a couple things about Rich. He said yes to my fax, and within 24 hours had sent me all his telephone numbers. We met various times. We went to things like Orlando Magic Games together. We had many times where our wives and families got together to share and to talk and to encourage. So here is this leader who raises up millions of people giving advice on how to make things happen and start things from scratch. And as a church planter of planting four churches, helping leaders throughout the world plant churches, restart churches, I've taken this mentor relationship and information that Rich DeVos has written and things written about Rich DeVos and put together these presentations on what I learned about church planting from Rich DeVos. You know, the first thing you'll notice when you meet Rich is his attitude of, you got to try things. And maybe that's what you're thinking right now. You're sensing a call to plant a church. And I would encourage you to give it a try. That's what Rich DeVos would do. When if there's a calling, it's an authentic calling, and you're sensing the Lord wants you to do it, but you're sort of worried, is this going to happen? Give church planting a try. Now, I'm going to share a lot of the writings of Rich DeVos in his book, Simply Rich, Life and Lessons from the co-founder of Amway, a memoir. Now, when I do this, don't get worried about if you hear the word Amway. I'm not trying to get you to sell Amway. I'm not promoting any business. Look for the principles in Mr. DeVos's writing and see how they can apply to church planting, because in church planting, you're going to start something from scratch. So when you hear the word Amway, you hear his life, when I quote him, understand we're not getting anyone to sell Amway. Instead, we're learning those cross-pollinating principles that start something new. And one of the things you'll meet and see when you'll actually talk to Mr. DeVos is this idea of try or cry. Give church planting a try. This is what Rich says. You can make excuses about not having the right education or experience, not coming from the right background, being afraid to attempt something new, or a challenge that appears too daunting. You can sit around and cry about what you perceive as a life stacked against you, or you can try. Just try. And if you fail, try again. In my experience, trying always beats crying. You know, I have tried many things. And you know, and very honestly, many things failed. But I never looked at the failure. I looked at what I learned. Church planting, give it a try. So as you are considering church planting in this class, why not give it a try? Now, here are some critical principles in church planting. Be a positive dad or mom to your church planter children. Make it a joy to be in a church planter's house. Rich put it this way, my father was a very positive man. He believed in the power of positive thinking, and he preached it even though his own life wasn't as successful as he had hoped. He would always tell me, you're going to do great things. You're going to do better things than I've done. You're going to go farther than I've gone. You're going to see the things I've never seen. That's how I thought of my various church plants. You know, it's interesting, my children have commented to me that they loved being in a church planter's home. They don't have a lot of negative to say about it because it was fun. It was positive. We were meeting people. We were learning. We were growing. Oh, there are some downsides, of course, because you're life in a fishbowl. But overall, as the church planter, you have the opportunity to set that positive attitude about church planting. Facing challenges with a great attitude. Church planting puts you right at that opportunity of great challenges. And church planting is about keeping going with that positive attitude and learning how to keep that positive attitude. Rich says, but for reasons I cannot explain, we simply took rejection and any negativity in stride and kept going. Perhaps experience has ingrained this positive attitude within us. Whatever it was, we simply had the capacity or personalities to do whatever it took to brush off objections and just keep going. And I think we had the distinct advantage of being able to encourage each other through the setbacks. When you do church planting, there will be resistance. There will be spiritual warfare. There will be your own personal sin and struggle. There will be things of your community that will hold you back, maybe government intrusion. There will be many, many challenges in being a church planter. But with prayer and with an attitude to face those challenges, whatever happens to you in a positive attitude, this is how you think like a church planter. Church planting is very much a team sport, a team endeavor. Husband and wife together. I have observed over 30 years of being around a lot of church planters that the best church planters include their spouses. Rich says, I introduced him first and separately. This is talking about in his Amway leadership, and when he had gone to some meeting to really encourage those leaders. He says, I introduced his wife, Jo, and later, I introduced him first and separately introduced his wife. Jo later pulled me aside and said, you're doing the introduction wrong. It's Jo and Helene Victor. We need to recognize Helene as an equal partner in this business. That was a sound piece of advice. And that's how we refer in spoken introductions in print to all married couples in the business to this day. So as Mr. DeVos, Rich DeVos, looks at his life and the principles, he came to realize that it's not the church planter Henry, it's Henry and Pam, my wife. We planted churches. And when you plant a church and you're in it together, it's very, very powerful. When you meet other church planters, always include their spouse. In fact, if the spouse does not want to be included when you're thinking about a church plant, that is a red flag. Remember, husband and wife are together in church planting. That's how church planters think. I would even encourage you that you would get your spouse. If your spouse is interested in joining church planting, as much as possible, to go through this class with you. Church planters think in a walk narrative way. That's how they communicate, walk narrative communications. Church planting message that flows out of your walk with God daily. Rich says, they taught me that a key to public speaking is to use illustrations. Tell stories, preferably from your own experience. If you talk about that, if you talk about something that happened in your own life, you don't need notes because you lived it. So stories from personal experience are usually the best. A church planter is someone who's like that. You're living your life. you're doing your seven connections that we talk about at Christian Leaders Institute in your personal life, your marriage, your family, with your friends. And then what happens, it starts flowing out into that church planting world and in the kingdom of God, those outside of your church, and in evangelism. So what happens is you practice in your own life. In a sense, if you compare the analogy to selling Amway, an Amway distributor first uses the product in their own life. And as they use the product in their own life, this is what Amway distributors do, they would share how this product was very effective in their own personal life. Now, think about that with God. As we walk with God daily, and we actually have a living and ongoing testimony, we, in the narrative of our lives, share that with others, preach about that narrative so that others too participate in that narrative. Church planting is very much a narrative thing. Jesus, when he came on this earth, what he did is he taught in these narratives, in these parables about real life, out of his real life. So that's what we do. A church planter thinks in a narrative way. Develop a great work ethic. Church planting is hard work and responsibility. Rich writes, those experiences and lessons from my paper route and household chores were the foundation for becoming at a young age a diligent worker with a sense of responsibility, an eye toward detail, and appreciation for pleasing customers. Okay, I love what he says there. Whether you're young right now and thinking about this, or whether you've been around the block and you're older and you're thinking about church planting, get the expectation, whether you got it at a young age or get it now, it's going to be hard work. It's about meeting people. It's about getting up every day, and maybe you have another job. You're just going to be bivocational. It's about finding a very disciplined work ethic where you work your pay job, and then you have very specific time where you and your spouse really focus on building a new church. So work ethic is very important. A walk-based life in church. You know, we talked about how it's out of the narrative of your life. I want to go back to that in this sense. These connection relationships are important in church planting, such as what people see, honor your parents, set aside money for the Lord's work, give to others, be honest, work hard, strive for good mental attitude. We did not share a meal before giving thanks for it in prayer, and when the meal is over, we read a portion of Scripture. In church planting, have people over to your house and model that you are actually doing this walk. So not only do your stories at church reflect your walk, but you want people in your life to see that you're doing it. I remember when I first was being mentored by Rich DeVos, I myself joined Amway with my wife back in the 1990s, and we had lots of distributors right away. And one of the things we heard some of the people in the business say was, open your cupboard. People want to see if in your cupboard are the products. Well, in church planting, people are always asking this question. Are you living this which you are proclaiming? So you have the narrative out of your life, but there's an aspect where they want to see, are you actually reading the Bible and praying, memorizing Scripture? Do you actually have a walk with God? Is it not just talk, but it's also walk? Be an encourager and a mentor. A church planter thinks like that right from the start. See potential, for instance, in young people. I like what Rich DeVos wrote. When I graduated, my gentle, scholarly Bible teacher, Dr. Leonard Greenway, wrote a line in my yearbook that I'll never forget. In one single line of encouragement, he wrote, "To a clean-cut young man with talents for leadership in God's kingdom." His line was simple, but it was a great source of inspiration to a young man who is not a good student, and I'd been told that he was not college material. But a teacher who I admired and had seen me as a leader, wow, I never thought of myself in that way before. And that's how, as a pastor, as you think of a church planter, you're always looking for potential, especially in young people, but for everybody. So many people have been beaten down and knocked out. And you, as a church planter, are that bright encouragement that is powerful as thinking like a church planter. Be then a cheerleader. That's what it is. The church planter is the encourager in chief. Rich said, I still refer to myself as a cheerleader because I keep encouraging others to have confidence to use their talents to follow their dreams. It's been one of the most important reasons for my success in my helping others to succeed. Every day when you wake up as a church planter, you're asking yourself, who can I encourage? Who can I be a cheerleader to? Now, church planting is about facing opposition. There will be naysayers. There will be secular experts who have discredited salvation from God. Rich says doctors especially were opposed to us. He was talking about his early days in Nutrilite when they were promoting supplements. Now today everybody believes that supplements are good to take. But it was interesting when you're faced with kind of a professional opposition, you really have to stand firm. Some told patients who are our customers, you don't need any of this stuff. It's phony. Today, of course, daily vitamins and mineral supplements are accepted within the medical community. But in those days, this was in the 1950s, supplemental nutrition was frowned upon, not always because doctors doubted their value, but because we were intruding into their world. Now, I bring this story up because more and more, that's what we face as church planters. We come into an area, and what do we have? The scientific community discrediting God as the creator, and you have evolution. You have local municipalities who are set against the planting of churches. You have governments who actually persecute Christians, do not want churches to come up. And despite all of that, you are called to be a church planter. So you have to toughen up. You have to sort of have this attitude. I can face opposition. Opposition is not something that's going to hold me back from church planting. Church planting is not just about yourself and your family. Church planting is really also about organizing others to help you. Get this idea how to raise up leaders to help you reach people. You need others. So you're being an encourager and a cheerleader, not just for their faith, but for them using their gifts in ministry. Rich said, we would ask people to host meetings in their homes and invite as many people as they could think of, friends, relatives, neighbors, church members, co-workers, whomever. Now, in the case of church planting, that's what you do. When you reach someone, you're right away taking an interest in who they are. You're also taking an interest in who they know because you want everybody they know to know Christ. It's not you want everyone they know to come to your church. No, it's you want everyone they know to walk with God. And they have an entree. In a sense, when you ask them to help you, you give them a stage. You are organizing them to reach others for Jesus Christ. In church planting, there's so many aspects to it. In thinking about church planting, one of the things church planters need to do is to keep making the point deeply. Church planters keep improving their public communications. So you've been at Christian Leaders Institute. We have preaching class here. We have other ways to help you communicate better and better and better. And I like what Rich DeVos talks about. He said, the Carnegie Method also taught a speech formula. And I want to give that to you. So no matter where you're at, this is just a very tried and true speech formula. First, make sure you always tell your audience the subject of your speech. Now, this could be even a sermon, but there's so much speaking in being a church planter. So always sort of say, what am I trying to say? I've heard too many speakers talk, but never tell me what they are really talking about. They talk about a lot of things, but I want to know, what's the subject today? What are we going to be talking about? What is the point of this? Okay, so that's the first thing. Second, tell your audience why we are going to talk about the subject. Why is this subject important? And third, illustrate the point of the speech. Illustrate, illustrate, illustrate. We talked before about narratives. Illustrate with some of the stories of people that are reached in your church. Illustrate positive ways so people can see the leadership coming from you. They can see and imagine, and they're not bored by what you have to say. To think like a church planter is about keeping your word. Keep your promises to your church and leaders. Rich said, so I'm charging you to remember what you have promised people you will do and make sure you keep on doing it. This thing is rolling so fast and it's going to be so big that the things that you do today and the things you set in place today are going to be very important. God has blessed you and you're going to be held accountable for your promises. This was a precious time for me, hearing my dad's advice, wise and caring words. What Rich is talking about here is his father. He actually gave him advice when Amway was very young. And one of the advice principles he gave is to keep your promises. Church planters have this all the time. One of the things church planters do, they don't mean to do it, is they overpromise and underdeliver. Like, we're going to have this program, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And then people come in and, you know, where's this program, where's that program? Mm-mm. I learned as a church planter, go the other way. Only promise what you prayerfully know that you can deliver. Keep expectations low and exceed organizational expectations rather than to promise a lot and deliver less. If I would say the one thing that I learned in a church planter that's hurt me more personally is this one point over the years. Because I'm a sales type of guy. So I will see more than there is just because I love to promote. You see me here at CLI like that. So I'm always checking myself as I've developed and become more mature to keep this point, keep your word, only promise what you can deliver. A church planter leads out of respect, and the church planter must lead. Rich said, I think this was a key lesson for us about the true meaning of leadership. For one thing, Jay and I decided that it was essential. Now, Jay is Rich DeVos's partner. He's now with the Lord. They founded Amway together. For one thing, Jay and I decided that it was essential for us to lead, and we must have the courage to lead. The fact that everyone was following also was meaningful. I believe they followed not only because they respected Jay and me, but because our asking them to join us showed that we respected them. To this day, I firmly believe that effective leaders only truly gain respect by showing respect. In other words, when you reach people and you're forming relationships, listen to their story, respect them. Then when out of that respect environment, ask them to participate. Ask. Don't assume. Say, would you like to come to my house for some hospitality? Would you like to come to our church? Would you like to be part of our church as we reach out in this community? Don't ask like a guilty, disrespectful way. Like, you know, a lot of people in this community are going to hell because they don't believe in Christ and they better like get on board with this church. You know, now again, you would never do that, I'm sure. But notice that attitude of disrespect. Have great respect and ask people to participate with you. Another principle I learned for church planting and thinking like a church planter was help leaders keep proclaiming the gospel. In other words, if you have someone fired up, help them get fired up more and give them the tools. The gospel is central in church planting. As strongly as I believe in free enterprise, optimism, and other principles I've shared in this book, I believe in one thing even more strongly, a personal God in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the mission of his church. I've never tried to force my personal faith on others, but I'm willing to declare my faith publicly. If my faith has been such a fulfilling, rewarding part of my life, how could I not share such good news with others? And that's the attitude we want, is as we reach people, whether they're businessmen or whether they're factory workers or whether they're truck drivers or whether they're housewives or whether they're women in the workforce, it doesn't matter. Our goal is to keep the central thing. That is that Christ saved our life. The gospel is the good news. Jesus is rose from the dead, and we can start a personal relationship with the God of the universe in Jesus Christ and try to help everybody keep that message before church planting. That really energizes church planting. Another principle in thinking like a church planter, directly from Rich DeVos, is the idea of stay in the building stage. Church planters must think like builders. Rich once said, I once even shared the four stages with President Gerald Ford. The speech covered four stages in the development of any organization: the building, management, defending, blaming. I had known Gerald Ford since he was our U.S. congressman from Grand Rapids. This was back when he was actually the president in the 1970s. I was visiting him in the Oval Office one day and was told I would get 10 minutes to spend chatting with him. Now, Rich writes how he shared just one little thing about the stages, and then President Gerald Ford said, I want to hear the whole thing. And Rich said, well, I only have 10 minutes. And Gerald said, I want to hear the whole thing now. And that's how it is in church planting. In church planting, we must stay in that building mode. And even if the Lord increases our number, be very careful not just to be management, defending, and blaming. And every organization, many organizations, if someone is not self-aware of leadership, they can do that. They build, then they start managing the growth. Then things happen that are challenging, so they defend what they're doing. And then what happens is they get into the blaming pattern because they're not growing anymore. People say, why aren't we growing anymore? So they blame. The answer to it is build. Reach more people. Get back to the gospel. Stay in the building stage. And learn how to stay in the building stage even while you're managing and you're defending. And yes, there's always going to be some blaming, but may the blaming, defending, and management not be the dominant corporate culture in your new church plant. As a church planter, learn to be cross-cultural, because there will be various people coming into your church. Even if you're called to reach a specific people group, you still have to be very contextual as you're sharing the gospel. A church planter learns how to get the message across appropriately. Rich writes, the first time I tried to use a joke in China, I got no reaction from the audience. The same joke that usually got a big laugh from an English-speaking audience resulted in dead silence from the Chinese. While speaking in a foreign country, I also avoid anything related to politics because I'm not in my own country, and I'm not authorized by Amway to express my opinions, so I find something else to talk about. Now, what is he saying here? When it comes to church planting, keep the focus on the gospel. Watch your humor. It's very important to use humor, yes, but be very careful not to talk about the big hot issues of the day. A church planter is not going to win any battles by being polemical, that is a fighter with all of the issues that are talked about in the news. Instead, we're about life. We're about the gospel. We're about keeping the main thing the main thing. And understand that the people who are going to come and join us are humans just like us. So what do we all share together in our humanity is we need a Savior. We need Christ Jesus. How do we get our voice and our message to be cross-cultural? Another thing I learned from Rich DeVos is never forget who you are. Church planters need to freely connect their testimony narratives. See, you know, before we talked about proclaiming how your walk is like. We talked about living and showing that you're opening the Word of God and praying. But a church planter is always about their own testimony with the Lord. Standing at a podium, Rich writes, "In looking over the crowd after my grand introduction, I thank this man for his generous words, but added, that introduction really doesn't describe me. Let me tell you who I really am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, a Christian saved by Jesus Christ. This is who I really am. This all happened more than 20 years ago, and I have often introduced myself that way since, even with non-Christian groups of people." You know, in apologetics, that is the defending of the faith, who can argue with your testimony? So as a church planter, really hone in how to describe your testimony with growing with Christ Jesus our Lord. Another thing to think like a church planter is to handle recognition well. Recognition will encourage or kill a church planter. That's right, because standing backstage in an arena, seating tens of thousands, listening to your glowing introduction, and then hearing thunderous applause as you step into the spotlight can be a very heady experience. But I have tried not to let it go to my head. For one thing, I know I'm just a sinner saved by grace, not a rock star. Even if some people may have treated me as one, I believe the response I feel in those moments, it has to be one out of gratitude. You know, that is how it is. As a church planter, you will be recognized because you're leading people. But always know who you really are. You are no different than anybody else. And a church planter has that humble approach as he or she is planting a church. Cultivate stages for others. Church planters do this. They make stages. How do you do that? Well, they honor people who have done things that are worthy of being covered by the media or are applauded and received a standing ovation is something we need to cultivate. In other words, and again, whether the media is involved or not, Mr. DeVos is about, hey, honor people. Now, another part of this would be creating stages actually help people discover their gifts. And once they use their gifts, create that applause, that recognition. Now, some people say, you know, we don't want to get into all that recognition stuff. Well, it says in the Bible, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So creating stages and taking note of people's and their accomplishment is very important for a church planter. Another thing to know about church planting is it's very much a person-to-person type of business. It's about people. Person-to-person church planting. Rich DeVos said, we eventually stopped going door-to-door and making cold calls because we had come to understand that ours was a person-to-person business. Instead, we made a list of everyone we knew and asked them to refer people they knew and started seeing customers by appointment. I will tell you this right now. As a church planter of many churches, this is a little kernel. Do not forget. I found that if you talk to people, they knew people, and if you actually intentionally ask them, hey, who do you know that might be open to God to come to a church? And you actually sit down with people, they will open up their lives. If you never ask your leaders or the people who come, who else do they know? They're not necessarily going to think to say anything. No, this church is for me to go to. It's not for anybody else I know to go to. But if you ask them, you will be surprised. In fact, what often happens, you say, hey, we're going to have hospitality at our house. Do you know someone that you can bring that maybe wants to meet a pastor and talk about spiritual things? And people really do respond. Really, if you think about thinking like a church planter, church planting is about growth. Get good at reaching out. Rich says, many leaders in the church see the numbers dwindling and say they're not good at bringing in new members. I tell them, you better become good at it or the church will die. So here's Rich DeVos talking to us pastor types. If an Amway group didn't continue to add members, I would tell them they're going to fail. That's the same challenge facing our churches. So a church planter sees the gravitas about growing in growth. You know, as Rich DeVos mentored me in many things, what I appreciated was the intense desire to expand the kingdom of God. And as you are taking this class, does that intense desire well up in you that you could reach people and build a church and to think like a church planter, to think as someone who's called by God to be that catalytic force that is going to take what a place where there was no church and actually plant a church where a church is planted to reach people for the gospel of Christ. As you're considering this, pray that God will give you that fire or that God will lead you into a place where you can have that energy led by the Holy Spirit to plant new churches.